Welcome, Who's Talking? This is D.G. Martin. I'm talking to my favorite basketball coach, Coach Lefty Driesell. Coach, thanks for agreeing to visit with us.
It's my pleasure. Always good to talk to you, D.G.
Well, you're really good. One of the reasons I wanted to talk to you, and we've talked about this a little bit before, you haven't read my friend Art Chansky's book about the sort of the desegregation of Chapel Hill and UNC Chapel Hill, and one of the major players in the book is Charlie Scott, and I think Art does a good job of describing how if it weren't for you, as Charles says, he wouldn't have been, because he gives you credit for finding him and giving him the inspiration to play major college basketball. Is that?
Yeah, that's what he tells me. He said if it wasn't for me, nobody knew who he was. But they would have, because he'd been a great player at Davidson. Well, as a matter of fact, he's the one that kept me out of the Final Four two times.
Well,
everybody says Lefty shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame because he'd never been in the Final Four, but there's a lot of guys that haven't been in the Final Four, and the rules were different back then. You had to win the tournament, and Charlie, and then you had to go on, and I'm sure North Carolina beat us twice in the Final Eight, and Charlie was on both of those teams if it made the winning basket on one of them.
Do you remember the first time you heard about Charlie Scott or the first time you met him?
Yeah, I do. I remember the first time was, the coach at Lenoir Ryan. What was his name? And I know it, and I can't think of it right now. Mm. Well, you know who I'm talking about?
No, I was trying to remember.
The coach at Lenoir Ryan. If you said his, and if I thought hard enough, I could probably remember it. But he is the first one that – he just resigned about 2 years ago. As the AD.
Oh, Neil McGay.
Was it Neil?
Geach McGay.
Yeah, it might have been Neil. Yeah. I'm not sure. But so he called me up and said, Lefty, there's this kid over here at Laurinburg Institute. We just saw him play or something, and you need to get in touch with him. So I did.
Well, now, Neil didn't go to Davidson. His family.
John Lucas at Hillside High School. And I said, man, that guy can play.
So when did you first see him play?
Pardon me?
When did you tell us about the time?
I saw him play at Hillside High School against John Lucas's daddy's team.
Uh-huh.
And, he was something else. In fact, it's the loudest crowd I've ever been in. In fact, the official would blow the whistle, right? And the game would go on for a couple more baskets after blow the whistle and say, wait a minute. That was last basket, didn't care. I blew the whistle back here on that walk. It's the loudest crowd I've ever heard.
Well, were there
I remember seeing him play the first time. He must have got 35, 40 points.
And was he the best player on the court?
Oh, my God.
Anybody else? Did anybody else on either one of those teams catch your attention?
No, Charlie. He's the main reason I went anyway. And I loved him.
How did you follow up? How did you follow up? What'd you do?
Well, I forgot. I guess I called McDuffie or somebody at Laurinburg and got in touch with him and started writing him letters and invited him down for a visit. And, he used to go to a lot of our games originally and go out and eat with the team, which was legal at the time. After the game, we ate steaks. Charlie ate a lot of steaks.
But, Coach, one of the things that Art's book does is put this recruitment of Charlie Scott, in the context of the racial situation in the South and in the major predominantly or all-white schools. How did you think where were you in terms of your feeling about black players? You just coached black white players. When I was there, we never even thought about having a black player on the team.
I never realized there was anything. When I was growing up in the South, in Norfolk, Virginia, I used to ride in the back of the streetcar with the black people. And I used to get up and give my seat to a black woman. Even when I was sitting up the front, because I thought it was ridiculous, and I never had any, qualms about blacks or anything. And I knew Charlie was a good basketball player. He had like Mr. Lucas used to call black people with good sunburns. So he had a good sunburn. That's all I knew. I knew he could play.
Yeah, but there weren't any. There were no black players playing on the college teams, and in the Deep South, they would even not let the schools play against black players. And so,
at Maryland, they were in the ACC. And I knew See, Charlie was about this. Well, no, Mike Malloy was about the third black student ever at Davidson.
Right, Davidson was so, mostly all white.
I signed Charlie first.
Right.
See, Charlie signed an early admission letter of intent to come to Davidson. So he really helped me get Mike Malloy. I might not have got Mike without him. So they were all set the room together, and they were, you know, I guess they were communicating with each other. I'm not sure, but I know they knew each other, and they were going to room together.
Well, Coach, here's my question. How did it go from don't even think about having a black college player because we don't at Davidson and most of the other schools in the area, we don't even have any students. So how did you start?
Yeah, we had some black students.
Yeah, but
Davidson.
I mean, one, a Congolese student, and, you know, it was not – we had just –
Davidson didn't care. I mean, I had a kid, an Indian kid visit before that, maybe a year before or something. He was from Pembroke, is that right,
yeah.
Where the Indians are?
Yeah.
I had a player from down there visiting, and everybody said, "Hey, Lefty, you can't recruit him. He's black." I said, "He's an Indian, man. I'm going to recruit him." But I didn't get him. So,
well, that's what
I never heard anything from Davidson about not recruiting Charlie. In fact, they were happy that I got him.
Well, there wasn't any in the college community, some of the old-line conservative professors or some of the families in Davidson saying, you know, we're a white school.
No, if they did, they never said it to me.
So you didn't even
Dad, who was president, he never said it to me.
So you didn't even...
Nobody ever said anything about me not recruiting Charlie.
That's amazing, isn't it? I mean, you know, looking back at it, because, again, when... 5 years before that, it just didn't happen and wouldn't have happened. But you don't take any credit. You don't take any credit for helping to desegregate the college, the Davidson College.
Well, I take credit, but they give it all to Dean.
because
he stole Charlie from me. But yeah, I mean, I was the first one to sign African American players in the South because I signed him. I got his letter of intent right here at my house, but it didn't mean anything that he couldn't change his mind. But he accepted an early admission letter of intent, and I used to we didn't have a letter of intent then, but I used to make them up. I used to make up a letter of intent, put a big gold star on it, and said, "I accept the scholarship to the University of Maryland." It didn't mean anything, but I thought it might not let them change your mind. But Charlie was the first one in the South, and then, as I say, he helped me recruit Mike Malloy. And then when Charlie changed his mind, I called Mike and told him, I said, "Mike, I got bad news for you. Charlie's not coming. I hope he doesn't come. I'm going to kick his butt." So, you know, it didn't matter to Mike. Mike wanted to play against.
Well, Coach, Art Chansky, in his new book on Game Changers, which is about the recruitment of Charlie Scott, primarily to Chapel Hill, I think puts, at least as I read it, puts you in a very favorable light in terms of your relationship with Charlie. But have you ever... were you just brokenhearted when he what did he call you up and tell you that he wasn't coming? And
he called my wife first. I was in Texas, wherever Dallas or wherever he was from, and signing him, and my wife called me up and said, "Charlie Scott just called in and said he was crying and said he wasn't coming to Davis and he was going to North Carolina." So, you know, so she called me and told me, and then Charlie called me, and I said, "Look, Charlie, don't sign anything with North Carolina until I get back there." So I got a private plane, flew back to Laurinburg, but he was signing when I got there.
Were you angry, sad? Because this really pulled the rug.
No, I wasn't angry. No, I like Charlie. I'd gotten to know him like he was my son. So I wasn't angry at him. I was angry at Dean for stealing him. But I wasn't really angry, you know. I was disappointed, of course. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not sure what he signed with North Carolina was binding, because I remember I kept calling him all summer, telling him, you know, "You can change your mind. Come on to Davis. You know, it's not too late." But he didn't come.
Yep. Well, you probably don't remember, but you asked me to write a letter to him and tell him what a great coach you were and how.
Yeah,
which
maybe
I did.
So.
I did faithfully because I.
So evidently, what he signed with North Carolina. See, I think back then, if you signed a letter say, with North Carolina, you couldn't go to another ACC school, but you could go to a Southern Conference school. I'm not sure that was the rule, but I know I called him a couple times, and he was offered some kind of camp, the FCA camp with North Carolina players. I couldn't get him to change his mind.
If you join us late, I'm visiting with Coach Lefty Driesell. We're having a conversation in light of Art Chansky's book called Game Changers, talking about the recruitment of Charlie Scott. Coach Driesell, and I'll be right back. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. I'm visiting with Coach Lefty Driesell. We're talking about Coach Driesell's recruitment of Charlie Scott to go to Davidson. And, Coach, you told us, it makes me cry. You know, I go back home to Davidson, and folks sometimes won't speak to me because they think now I'm part of the crowd that sold Charlie Scott from Davidson and you.
No. Well, that's right. You all connected with North Carolina. But, you know, Charlie, you know, even after he went to North Carolina, if my memory serves me correct, he used to come in the summertime and work as a counselor in my camp. I'm pretty sure he did, because I know I remember seeing him play against Pete Maravich, because Pete was one of my counselors, too. And then, you know, Charlie is, and I've always been close. I mean, he calls me, and he called me when his son was playing at Ohio State because he wasn't getting to play enough. And he said now that Dean had passed away, I was his coach. And so he calls me quite often. In fact, he called me not long ago and said, talking about the book. He said, because I had a guy write a book about me that I told him not to do it. So he said, what can I do? I said, I don't know, sue him, I guess. He said, no, I can't. He said, then the next time he called me back, he said, I got approval from the North Carolina press that they're going to write my book and I'm going to write it. And I said, well, go ahead. So that's what he said he's going to do. That's what he told me. And I don't know if he's going to do it or not. But Charlie calls me quite often, and we talk, and he's a good friend of mine.
Coach, one of the things that is an important part of the new book that we're talking about is while Charlie was successful on the basketball court, because I guess of, you know, the things racially had not changed as much as they have now, he was not happy in his social life at Carolina. Did most of his socializing over at North Carolina Central, and that.
Well, he should have called me and transferred. Because we got plenty of social life at Davidson.
Thing at Davidson.
I guarantee you, he would have liked living in Davidson, like Mike Malloy did, and you know, he would have had Mike, and he would have had all the social life he wanted, because he'd have been a hero, and we'd have been national champions.
Well, what did you do like Malloy? Malloy was special because he was gregarious and happy and didn't seem to have a mean bone in his body, but to bring black kids into an all-white community and into a conservative community. There had to be things that you learned that could help them get along, even at Davidson or at Chapel Hill.
Well, Davidson wasn't but 900 students going there when I was there, right? So everybody was happy. It didn't matter. In fact, I don't know if you remember this, but players on the team, most of the players on the team, well, not all of them, but most of them were in the Sigma Chi's. So they talked Mike and Heat, and Mike used to hang out at the Sigma Chi house with the players. So they said, we want you to join the Sigma Chi. And he said, fine, I'll do that, you know. And so they put his name up there, and the National Sigma Chi fraternity said, no, he can't get in because he's an African-American. So the kids in the Sigma Chi at Davidson said, okay, we're getting out of the National. We're going independent. So they went independent so he could get in the Sigma Chi. And they still are, I guess. I don't know. But at that time, I know they just dropped out and said, well, the crap with you. We want Mike in our fraternity, and he's going to be in here. If you don't like it, just kick us out, which they did. But they stayed Sigma Chi.
That's an amazing story. What, Coach, let me put words in your mouth and then you correct me, but one of the reasons it said that you left Davidson was that you thought that the ability to recruit talented African-American players might be better done at Maryland in a metropolitan area than in the rural area of Davidson, North Carolina. How did you come to think, I've got to get, if I'm going to have great teams, I've got to have black players?
No, I had some black players other than Mike Malloy. I know one of them, his name was Calvin, I forget. I had Stone, he ran his own TV show, a radio show up in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but these weren't...
I had a couple other black players, but that wasn't the main reason I left. I left because Kehoe, see, Maryland had the largest field house in America when I went to Cole Field House. It was the biggest field house in America. At Davidson, I had the smallest one, about 2,000. And so, and I had to drive 20 miles to and 20 miles back from when we played in the Charlotte Coliseum. And David, at Maryland, I just went to the same gym I practiced every time. Plus, that wasn't the main thing. The main thing was that Coach Kehoe, Jim Kehoe, was a great salesman. And so he got me over. He got me at a weak time, right? We had just